Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
Our two cents on the anniversary of the nickel in a few minutes. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. Russian tennis star Maria Sharapova is losing several big endorsement deals in the wake of the revelation yesterday that she failed a drug test at the Australian Open. Sharapova admitted to taking meldonium, a drug designed to treat circulation problems and not approved for sale in the U.S. The World Anti-Doping Agency added it to the banned list this year. Marketplace's Annie Baxter is looking into what is also a business of sports story here. Annie, Sharapova is big business.
Yeah, well, she's won 5 Grand Slam tennis tournaments, and according to Forbes, in 2015, she was the world's highest paid female athlete, and that was her 11th straight year of holding that title. Forbes says she pulled in about $30 million between June 2014 and June 2015. About a quarter of that came from prize money, but the rest came from endorsements from the likes of Avon, Nike, Tag Heuer, Evian, and Porsche. Sharapova also has some of her own business ventures, like a candy line called Sugarpova.
But some of the companies have taken swift action here after this news of her failed drug test.
Yes, Nike quickly announced it's putting its relationship with Sharapova on hold. Sharapova has a line of tennis gear, like tennis dresses and skirts, with the company. And Porsche and Tag Heuer are also suspending ties with the tennis player.
And that Nike deal, what was it, about $70 million?
Yeah, big bucks, 8-year deal. She's not the only athlete Nike has dropped as of late. Last month, Nike also cut ties with boxer Manny Pacquiao after he made derogatory comments about same-sex couples. And, you know, in recent years, Nike's also cut ties with Oscar Pistorius, Ray Rice, and Lance Armstrong.
All right, Marketplace's Annie Baxter in St. Paul. Thank you. Now, if you're inclined to worry about growth in the global economy today, there is news that China's exports dropped sharply last month. So then why is the price of crude oil up so sharply, up 12% in a week? Let's get a sense of the psychology playing out on the markets from Jeffrey Cleveland, the chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles.
Last week, we had the non-farm payroll report here in the U.S. And in the week after that report, well, there's not as much interesting data, so I think investors and traders have to look elsewhere and globally. One big item that catches a lot of attention is China. In particular, we saw a larger-than-expected drop in exports from China to the rest of the world, which many investors have interpreted as a sign of weakening global demand.
But then you look at the price of oil. It's almost $38 a barrel here this morning when it was below $30 a barrel a couple of weeks ago. What does that say about demand?
In mid to late January, we saw very low prices on crude oil. Many people told me, well, that's a sign the economy has slumped and, well, equities should be lower. And now that we've rallied, perhaps the opposite is true. So it's maybe lifted the mood somewhat.
If the price of oil is going up, it might imply something about supply, but also might imply something about the need to pump more of it for a hungry global economy.
I think maybe late January, maybe early February, the mood in the markets was overly pessimistic, and the rise in crude represents a little sort of fading of that pessimism.
All right. Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Proof now of an afterlife. 15 years ago today, George W. Bush and the 2001 Congress approved some major income tax cuts. These were supposed to expire back in 2011, but these things are persistent. Marketplace's Andy Euler has the story.
Ask an economist, and whichever side of the aisle they're on, they'll probably tell you tax cuts weren't boosting the economy during the George W. Bush years. There was a lot going on, but Bruce Bartlett doesn't think they did what they said they would. He's a former Treasury Department economist for George H.W. Bush and Ronald Reagan.
The tax cuts didn't just fail in a macro sense. They failed to accomplish their microeconomic purpose.
Their main purpose, Bartlett says, was to encourage businesses to pay out more dividends. That didn't happen.
Yet the dividend tax cut is still in effect.
In an election year, it's tough to suggest getting rid of tax cuts. Lynn Berman is chair of the Tax Policy Center at D.C.
People don't necessarily see a connection between the taxes they pay and the services they can get from the federal government.
Berman says until that changes, current tax policy is likely to remain the same. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The nickel, you know, the 5-cent piece, is turning 150 this year, and the backstory is interesting. Reporter Daniel Gross got the assignment.
Lou Chorney runs a coin shop, the Colonial Trading Company in Boston. He knows silver when he hears it.
We can tell instantly if there's something that's not silver. If you ring a silver coin, beautiful.
Nickel, on the other hand, just doesn't have a ring to it.
Kind of a clunk.
Chorney says nickel didn't always mean 5 cents. In the 1800s, the nickel took its name from the metal.
The first nickel is actually a 3-cent nickel.
Douglas Mudd studies coins at the American Numismatic Association.
At that time, money in people's eyes was considered to be silver or gold.
He says the story of the nickel is actually a Civil War story.
Anytime that you have a war, money becomes scarce.
People hoarded gold and silver, but not nickel. Starting in 1866, 5-cent nickels helped unclog the post-war economy. It was an early step toward our money system today,
where the coinage value is not based on the amount of metal it has, but upon what it symbolizes in value.
Nickel coins caught on. In the 1890s, 5 cents could buy you a loaf of bread or a Coca-Cola or a ticket to the Nickelodeon. Lizzie Barker, director of the Boston Athenaeum, says that was a cheap theater in Boston.
The word nickel in the title, of course, means that it would have cost 5 cents to get in. And we think the program here, dated October 15th, 1888, is the first use of this name.
The Nickelodeon became part of popular culture, and so did the 5-cent coin we know today.
I think the word itself has such a nice melody to it. It's not a surprise that it ended up in a 20th century popular song. But I'm not going to sing it.
You sure you're not going to sing it?
I'm positive. Put another nickel in
the Nickelodeon. Today, by the way, a nickel costs more than its value to produce, about 8 cents. In Boston, I'm Daniel Gross for Marketplace.
And countries can nominate things of pride to be recognized by the United Nations as cultural treasures. There's word Italy is nominating the pizza of my people, Neapolitan pizza, to be on the UNESCO list. While the business publication Quartz notes that flatbreads go back to ancient Egypt, the Neapolitans are credited with the first doing it with tomato, mozzarella, and basil. The European Union already defines Neapolitan pizza as cooked in a wood-fired oven, having cheese from the Naples region, oil, basil, and yes, canned tomatoes, people. Don't make a sauce, just right from the can. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's a speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.